Welcome to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you by the Mill Street Church of Christ. The Mill Street Church of Christ meets at 415 North Mill Street in London, Kentucky. We assemble on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 10:50 a.m. for worship, as well as 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday evenings for evening worship. We also meet on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for a midweek Bible study. We'd be delighted to have you with us for any of these services. Should you like to have someone come to your home and study the Bible with you, or a free copy of today's program, or a free copy of Bible lesson through the mail, or if you have Bible questions, requests can be made by calling 234-5055 or 878-6108, or we can be reached on email at millstreetcoc@windstream.net. You might also pay us a visit online at our website at www.millstreetcoc.org. That's www.millstreetcoc.org, where you can listen to sermons and read articles on various Bible topics. Eternal Truth can be heard each Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10 o'clock on 1400 AM, WFTG. We invite you to continue listening and tell others about the program. And now, let's look into God's eternal truth together.
Good Sunday morning and welcome to another edition of Eternal Truth Radio broadcast. I'm Donnie Oliver. I want to begin, listeners, by thanking you for being with us on the program today and letting you know how appreciative we are for that. We certainly count it as a great opportunity and privilege that the God of Heaven has blessed us with, that we could spend this time together with you in a study of the Bible. It's so encouraging to us to know that there are people like you that have a disposition of heart that for just a little while on a Sunday morning will be interested in spiritual matters and will put the cares and worries of the world aside for a moment of time and think about things that are contained in the Bible. I want to encourage you, as I do on every program, to follow along with me. Take your Bible out and follow along. Make sure that the things that you hear on the program are in harmony with the Word of God. And I'll do my very best on this program to give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that I say, and you feel free to take any notes that you'd like to take, that you can study these things further, that you might know from whence they come. And if you have any questions regarding what you hear on the program, please don't hesitate to contact me. You can call me day or night at 234-5055, or you can give us a call at the church building, which is 878-6108. Let me also let you know that if you'd like to have a copy of the program on CD or a correspondence course through the mail so that you can study the Bible further in the privacy of your own home, at your own pace and at your own convenience, or if you would like to have a Bible, if you're in need of a Bible, if you'd let us know that you can use those materials, we would be more than happy to get those in the mail to you at absolutely no cost to you. I also want to let you know that if you'd like to study with us, we'd be more than happy to come out to your home and study the Bible with you. We'll sit down with an open heart and an open Bible, and we'll investigate together with you the Word of God and study together. All you have to do is let us know that you desire to do that, and we'll be sure to schedule a convenient day and time that's convenient for you and meet with you, and we'll study together. So please don't hesitate to contact us if we can be of assistance to you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ. Again, I appreciate you being on the program today. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, and verse number 23, the Bible says, "And they shall teach my people the difference between holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." You know, it's important today, listeners, for people to be taught about God. So important that Jesus stated in John 6, verses 44 and 45, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him," the Lord said, "and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." You know, there's a saying that goes something like this, that we are but one generation away from not knowing the Lord. It may be that we live in a time like that because the vast majority of people do not know about the Lord. They do not know about what the Bible teaches. Not knowing the Lord, listeners, results from not being taught about the Lord. In the book of Judges, chapter 2, and verse number 10, the Bible says, "And also all that generation," now that's talking about Joshua, "and all that generation," the Bible says, "were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them." Now listen to what he says about that new generation. He says, "There arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." God said through the prophet Hosea, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." That's Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6. And so in the lesson today, listeners, I want us to think about some things that people need to be taught the difference between. And the first one that I want to talk to you about is the fact that individuals need to be taught the difference between good and bad. So many people today evidently do not know the difference between good and evil. Many today live as Israel of old, where it's said in Judges 17 and verse 6 that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. People today need to be taught what is right and what is wrong. God's Word instructs us, listeners, in such matters. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, the 19th Psalm, if you'll turn there with me or write this down so that you can read it. I realize that many individuals listen to the program as they are in their cars and driving on this Sunday morning. And so if you're simply listening to the program, just remember where these references are or contact us for a free copy of the CD. Let me also remind you, lest I forget about it, that if you'll log on to the Mill Street Church of Christ website, which is www.millstreetclc.org, that you can click on Special Studies, and then you can listen to the radio programs that are being uploaded. So it may take us some time, but eventually, Lord willing, we'll be able to have this one online as well. So you can go there and listen to them as well, or you can contact us for a copy of the program on CD. But in the 19th Psalm, in verse number 7, the Bible says, listen to what he says about the law of God. The Word of God. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Listen to what he says in verse 10. "More to be desired are they than gold." Now that's talking about the Word of God, the testimonies, the statutes, the commandments of God, the Word of God. "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." In verse number 11, listeners, he says, "Moreover, by them," again, that's by the Word of God, "moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward." Again, we need to be taught the difference between the right ways and the wrong ways, between good and bad. The prophet Isaiah stated in chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, he says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Now you think about that today. You would read a verse like that and you would think that it was written in today's headlines, in today's paper. Because we're living in a time today, listeners, where many individuals are taking what is bad and they're calling it good, and they're taking what is good and right and wholesome in the sight of God, and they're trampling upon it, and they're putting it down, and they're calling it bad. And in this text, the prophet says, "Woe to them that do that." In Psalm 119, verse 130, the Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And so we need to be taught the difference between good and bad. You know, there's a host of individuals that perhaps don't like that. They think that if you teach about anything that they would categorize as being negative, well, that we shouldn't do that. And so don't preach about things like adultery and repentance and sin and hell and all of the things that they think are negative things. They just think that you ought to just have a positive message and preach about love and about heaven and about mercy and about goodness and brotherly love. All of those things have the right and proper place. But you can't preach one to the neglecting of the other. And so people today need to learn the difference between good and bad. But there's another one that I want us to think about on the program today. And that is the fact that individuals need to be taught the difference, listener, between sound doctrine and false doctrine. Now think about that. Let me ask you the question. Does sound doctrine and false doctrine exist? Listen to Paul's writing in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now notice that. Keep that question in mind. Does sound doctrine exist and does false doctrine exist? Now let's allow the Bible to answer that for us. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul wrote to Titus and said, "But speak thou the things which become what, Paul? Sound doctrine," he says. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 10, Paul stated, "For whoremongers and for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." Again, in Titus 1 and verse 9, as he talks about the qualifications of those that would serve as elders, he says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." You see, these passages, listeners, teach us that there is a difference between sound doctrine and false doctrine. You see, some prefer false doctrine over sound doctrine. You may say, "Well, preacher, I don't see how that could be the case. I don't think there's anybody that prefers error over what's right." But you know that there are. There are people that do that. There was during the time of the first century, and there are today. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." In verse number 4, he says that they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Yes, there are individuals, listeners, who prefer what is wrong over what is right. And Paul tells Timothy he needs to know that, and he needs to be alert to that simple truth. In the book of 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." Now that word "try" that he uses in that passage means to test or to prove. He says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God." Now here's the reason. He tells the Christians, he says, don't believe everything that you hear, in essence. Of course, I'm paraphrasing it. He says, don't believe everything you hear, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits, prove them. Here's the reason. In verse number 2, "For many false prophets are gone out into the world." Listener, you cannot believe everything that you hear. And when you hear something and someone's telling you that the Bible says something or that something is the truth, you need to listen to that and study the Bible to see if it's right. Be like those are of Acts 17 and verse number 11, the Bereans, when the Bible says that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. You know, Paul commended those of Thessalonica after he wrote to them. He had visited there and he sent them a letter. And notice what he says. He says in chapter 2 and verse number 13, He says, for this cause thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And so here was a group of God's people, and Paul says, listen, this was your disposition. This is the way that you approached what you heard of us. He says, you did not receive what we preached as it were the words of men, but you received it as it is in truth, the Word of God. You know, we have the Word of God contained in the Bible for us. Paul stated in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto every good work. In the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 16, we learn in that passage that only the gospel, not false doctrine, not error, but only the gospel will save an individual. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. What that means is that the gospel is the power that God employs to save individuals today. Someone says, well, preacher, I don't believe that. I believe that we're saved by the blood of Christ. Well, you know, there's a number of things that the Bible says that we are saved by. The Bible does say that we are saved by the blood of Christ. In fact, you read about that in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. You read about the fact that we are washed in the blood of Christ, that we're made white in the blood of Christ. If you notice verse number 5 of Revelation 1, he says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, now listen to what he says, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We could not be saved without the shed blood of Christ. So yes, we're saved by the shed blood of Christ. But you know, the Bible also says that we are saved by the gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 that we are saved by faith, or by grace rather, through faith. The Bible says that we are saved by obedience to the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 4. And the Bible says, viewers or listeners, that we are saved by baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 20 and 21. And so only the gospel will save an individual from their sins. Not false teaching, not error, not doctrines of men, but the teachings of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 22 through 25, the Bible says, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, now listen to him, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is like the grass, and the glory of man as the flower. The flower falleth away and perisheth, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, rather. But the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And he says, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. But there's a third thing that I want you to think about on the program today. And that is the fact that people today need to be taught the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Paul admonished Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of God. You know, it's amazing how many people today do not know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They don't know the difference between the patriarchal age and the Mosaical age or the Christian age. Many individuals think that there is just one law that runs throughout the span of the Bible. And while we're under the same law as those people that were living during the time of Moses, you know, the Bible teaches that there's a difference between the Old Testament law of Moses and the New Testament law of Christ. And so we need to handle the Word of God rightly, which means that we need to keep things in their proper perspective. You know, the law of Moses was a law, listeners, that was never intended to last for all time. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God made this law with the children of Israel. Didn't say that He made it with people today, or even the people that were before them, not even with their fathers. But the Bible says that God made that law with the children of Israel. Notice what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Moses records here, "The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day." And so God chose the children of Israel. He chose them out not because of their own righteousness and not because that they were more in number than anyone else, because the Bible says that they were fewer in number than all of the people. That's Deuteronomy 7 and verse number 7. But God chose them out, and He made a law with them. Now again, that law was not meant to last forever. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34, that there was going to come a time when God was going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Not according to the law that He made with them of old, but a new one. And when we come over to the New Testament, we find that very thing. We find that the Bible says that the Old Testament law of Moses was not given to last for all time, but it was given for a particular purpose and for a particular duration of time. Notice, if you will, Galatians chapter 3, and let's begin with verse number 19. Paul writes to those of Galatia, he says, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, listen to him, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now notice, if you will, again in verse number 19, the Bible says that the law was given till the seed should come. Well, if we knew what the seed was or who the seed was, then we would know the duration of the law, because the Bible says that the Old Testament law was given till the seed should come. Well, if you go back up to verse 16, notice what the Bible says. He says here, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." And so Christ is identified as the seed which should come. Now, did Jesus Christ come? Absolutely He did. Therefore, are we still under the schoolmaster that would bring us to Christ? Evidently not. Now, in the book of Colossians chapter 2, in verse number 14, the Bible says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of His way, nailing it to the cross." You know, several times in the book of Hebrews we read that Jesus is a mediator of a better covenant, of a new covenant. In Hebrews 8, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry," this is talking about Christ, "by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." If you drop down to verse 13, he says, "In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." Over in chapter 9 and verse 15, he says that he's the mediator of the New Testament. And so he says that a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. And so Jesus is the testator of the New Testament, and it came into force when he died on the cross. And so we're not under the law of Moses, and people need to know the difference, listeners, between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We are under the New Testament law of Christ, this side of the cross, the perfect law of liberty, James chapter 1 and verse number 16. And so we need to know the difference. I hope that the lesson has been of benefit to you. Again, if you have questions about these things, don't hesitate to contact me. We've only looked at three things in which people need to be taught the difference between today. And Lord willing, next week we'll begin again and look at a few more things that people need to be taught the difference between. Again, please contact us if you have questions regarding the things that you've heard on the program, or if you'd like to study these things further. We stand at the ready to assist you in whatever way that we can in your obedience to the gospel of Christ. Perhaps you're listening to the program today and you say, "Preacher, I'd like to become a Christian." You know that we would help you in doing that. There's only one way that you become a Christian, and that's to do it according to the way that the Bible says to do it, listeners. And that is to hear the gospel. Paul said in Romans 10 and verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins," John 8:24. "Repent of your sins," Luke 13 verse 3. Jesus said, "If we don't repent, we'll perish." The Bible says in Acts 17:30 that God once winked at this ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And we must confess our faith in Christ, that we believe that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32 and 33, as well as Acts 8 and verse number 37. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Then we must be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of our sins, Acts 2 verse number 38, as well as Colossians 2 and verse number 12. That's how you become a Christian. Upon doing that, the Lord will forgive you of all of your sins and add you to His church, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. We stand at the ready to assist you in doing that. We'll meet with you and baptize you into Christ this very day. Give us a call at 234-5055. Until next time, thank you for being with us on the program.
You've been listening to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you each Sunday morning at this same time by the Mill Street Church of Christ. We appreciate you listening to the program and encourage you to continue doing so each Lord's Day. Be sure to tell others about the program, and if we can be of assistance to you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ, give us a call at 234-5055 or 878-6108. And until next week, spend time meditating on God's eternal truth.